Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Christmas Church.
Merry Christmas.
Well, welcome to First United Methodist Church here at our Brighton campus. We are so glad that you're here. My name is Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serves at this congregation, and it is a great joy to welcome you to Christmas Eve worship as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you've come into worship, hopefully you received a candle as we will be concluding the service with singing of Silent Night. Hopefully you also received a bulletin, and on the inside you'll note a connection card. You're invited to fill out that information and place it in the offering plate later in worship. There's lots of opportunities to get connected to our church, many things happening, so you can find that information in the trifold bulletin. And then also on the way in, I feel like we should have given you a grocery bag. There was so much stuff. Also on the way in, maybe you receive some popcorn. In January, we're going to be starting a musicals with a message sermon series, so we'd invite you to pop some popcorn and watch those movie musicals and come worship with us in January as our next upcoming series. So a warm welcome to you and a warm welcome to our online congregation. Now let's begin our time of praise together. Let us sing together.
It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long ago
Gather as people on a journey of peace, hope, joy, and love. We light the Christ candle to symbolize God's promise fulfilled. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he'll be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to all on whom his favor rests. We gather and praise this evening, for the long-awaited birth of our Lord and Savior has come. Amen. Please stand to sing Joy to the World.
Let us pray. Loving God, on this holy night we gather to stand with shepherds amazed at your glory, to sing with angels rejoicing in your work, to wait with Joseph trusting in your promise, and to sit with Mary cradling your love. May the good news of this night inspire us to tell the world of your great joy. The Word made flesh and come among us. For to us is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Glory and praise to you forever. Amen.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for their baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Our sheep need someone to guide us. Why don't you call him Shepherd? Let's all call him Shepherd. Mary, Mary, what you gonna call that baby? What you gonna call that baby? Hungry and poor, we need someone to save us. Why don't we call him Savior? Let's all call him Savior. Oh, Mary, Mary, what you gonna call that baby? What you gonna call that holy baby? Kings of the world, we need someone to rule us. Why don't you call him King? Let's all call him King. Let's all call him King. Savior, Shepherd, Lord,
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appear, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who whom his favor rests."
Thank you. angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into this world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who came in the form of a newborn baby, so that we might all have new life. Amen. I remember a couple of years ago, actually 9 years ago, it was my first year in ministry. And we processed in with the light, just as you saw happen here in this church. And I remember accidentally processing in with the senior pastor. I was an associate pastor at the time, and I processed in front of my senior pastor. And I walked up, and we were seated in front of everybody on Christmas Eve, up in the front in the chancel area. And I walked over to this spot, which happened to be the senior pastor's spot. I didn't realize that at the time, and I stood there, and the senior pastor came up to me after I had sat there for a moment, and he said, "Get up." And he said, "Maybe someday he'll sit in this chair, but not yet." And I remember just thinking in this moment as I was listening to the bells play and the choir sing, this is the moment that we've all been waiting for, the moment of Christmas Eve, this opportunity to be together. I imagine over the last couple of weeks, your anticipation is built as it's built up to this moment. You probably have had opportunities to drive through the neighborhood to see Christmas lights. Maybe you've hung Christmas lights around your own Christmas tree. I hope you've baked cookies. And I have to tell you, I ordered this weather up just for you. You're welcome. So
You braved the elements to come out here into this space. You've had the opportunity to join us in this sacred moment of remembrance of the birth of Jesus, this opportunity that we have to gather to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. I hope that in the weeks leading up to this moment, you've had an opportunity to gather with family and friends and loved ones. Perhaps some of you went caroling with us down at Greenfield Village as we sang songs to people who were passing by, watching folks work in the blacksmith shop and blowing glass. And maybe you've had an opportunity to celebrate with us when just over a week ago, we passed out over 50 presents to individuals who didn't have other ways of getting Christmas presents this year. Maybe you were with us this last couple of weeks during the Advent season where we had an opportunity to preach and share the story about Mary and Joseph and the journey that they got on from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Maybe you remember the story of Mary going to Elizabeth and talking to her trusted friend, the only person that she felt safe with on that particular night. And here we are in this moment, almost 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus. Maybe you've spent the last couple of weeks running around to buy the last Christmas present, searching for the very last electronic Lego train that there is in any Target nationwide. Maybe you've had a hard time finding the sacred Pokemon Go game that has been the biggest rave for Nintendo Switch. I don't know what your story's been like, but this Christmas, I have to admit, feels a little different. 2 years ago, when Pastor Lindsay and I first came to the church, there weren't very many in-person services anywhere. In fact, on Christmas Eve, it was one of the first services that we held together in person. And if you remember, there was this crazy guy preaching from a ladder in the parking lot, and we launched fireworks into the evening. And maybe some of that's still coming, yet there might be some tricks up our sleeve yet tonight. But things have changed, you know. We've been able to come out of quarantine and in many ways sort of release our normalcy back into life. Perhaps some of you have had an opportunity to gather with family, and the last couple of years, those family gatherings maybe didn't take place in quite the same way. And maybe some of you are sitting here like, maybe we should go back into quarantine. Like, all this family time and these parties and all these, you know, events on the calendar are just a little bit too much to keep up with. And really what I would prefer is to just turn the fire up in my fireplace, pull out a perfectly good book, and go back to being the happy, joy-filled introvert I was during the time of the pandemic. And you'd be just fine doing that. But as you come into this Christmas season, I've spent a couple of moments in the last couple of weeks as I prepared for this moment to preach to you this evening, thinking about that first journey of Joseph and Mary. I mean, seriously, can you imagine what it would be like to be in the 9th month of pregnancy? Most of us guys should just be quiet at this point and allow our wives to explain to us the reality of what this might have felt like. But can you imagine in the 9th month of pregnancy, a decree goes out that everybody has to move from the comfort of their own home out into elements that admittedly aren't cold. They're completely the opposite. Hot, desert-like conditions on the back of a camel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which admittedly isn't the farthest trek in the world, but if you're pregnant, waiting excitedly in anticipation, is building for the birth of the Messiah, can you imagine what it would have been like for Joseph and Mary to pack up their belongings, to get back on the back of a donkey and head towards Bethlehem? I don't know about you, but I've spent a couple of moments thinking about the things that we pack in our van when we head from here to Nebraska. I'm here to tell you that literally we can start packing at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we might pack all the way until 7 o'clock at night with all of the things that we brought for that journey. In Jesus' day, however, there probably wasn't much. You can imagine a camel that's basically empty, maybe only the clothes on their back, probably enough food, water, whatever is necessary to find shelter for the night, and yet they packed up their belongings and they headed off into the wilderness of Israel in search of a place to give birth to the one who would become the Messiah. Now I'm here to tell you, I love buying the perfect gift on Christmas Eve. I love shopping. I love finding the gift and being like, I know that this is going to light up the eyes of the person who receives it on Christmas morning. But in that first Christmas, there probably wasn't a whole lot of gift giving and exchanging. For those of you who may have background in the medical community, I mean, like, imagine giving birth in a stable. I imagine it to be disgusting. Animals. And, like, let alone the fact that there are spectators watching, right? Like, the story is scandalous. And yet, like, as we fill our calendars through the whole month of December and we run from one place to the next, from one social gathering to the next, to go see our friends, to go exchange cards and gifts with our loved ones, you know, sometimes I wonder if maybe we're a little bit misguided in our American culture and our desire to make Christmas this special moment. I think sometimes that perhaps we lose sight of the original meaning of Christmas, this beauty and simplicity, and the fact that they probably weren't able to bring hardly anything with them on their first journey to the manger. I remember when our first child was born, we went to this place that's since gone out of business. Perhaps you remember this store. It's called Babies R Us. Has anybody ever been there? I literally walked into the store and felt like I had landed on another planet. There were bouncers and rockers, and there was every toy imaginable, and I wondered, like, what does one even do with this thing? And yet Jesus' parents had none of that. So often in our culture, we get so caught up in having just the right thing or just the right gift or just the right experience in this particular time of the year, that I wonder if we miss the significance of the message of simplicity, the fact that Jesus came down from heaven and he wasn't born into a heavenly throne room, but instead into a manger where there were no rockers or bouncers or the right car seat or anything else. There were no strollers, just a donkey, his mom and his dad, and a whole bunch of other random people that showed up. I want to tell you a story that struck me as I was preparing for this message. It's a story about an American CEO who went down to this small fishing village in Mexico to just get away for a little while. So this guy flies down to Mexico, and he shows up in this village, and he goes to see this Mexican town in Mexico, and sure enough, he runs across this fisherman who had just caught these two large fin tuna fish in the bottom of his boat, and he walks up to this guy and he goes, "How long did it take you to catch these fish, senor?" And the guy responds to him, "Only a couple of hours, just a little bit of time this morning." And the American CEO goes, "So did you have to work very hard to catch those fish?" And he goes, "No, sir, it only took me a couple of hours this morning." And the American CEO said, "Well, what is it that you do with the rest of your time if it only takes you a couple of hours to catch these fish?" And he goes, "Well, I've caught all that I needed to provide for my family. And I've got to tell you, I have the best life after that. As soon as I catch these fish, I come in to port, and afterwards I go home and I take a siesta with my wife. And when we wake up, whenever that might be, we go into town. We listen to great music. Sometimes I take out my guitar and I start playing. I dance in the streets and I enjoy my life by taking a nice sip of wine late in the evening, and I celebrate every single day." And the American CEO says, "Well, I've got a degree from Harvard School of Business, and I can help you with your business. In fact, maybe if you were to fish the entire day instead of just a couple of hours, you could eventually save up your money, and then you could buy a second fisher boat. And if you keep doing that for a couple more years, you could buy an entire fleet of fishing vessels. And at that point, you could set the market for fishing in all of Mexico. You could catch all of the tuna that you could possibly imagine. Life would be great for you. As time goes on, you could eventually grow your business and you could travel to Los Angeles and New York to the fish markets there. Can you imagine what an incredible life you would have?" And then the man says to the American CEO, "Well, what would happen next and how long would that take?" And the American CEO turns to him and he says, "Probably 15 to 20 years. And this guy says, well, what then would happen next?" And he says, "Well, you could eventually decide that you want to retire. In fact, you could sell your business to a bunch of stockholders. You could make millions of dollars and you could retire." And then the man says, "Well, what then would I do?" And the American says, "Well, probably, if you'd like, You could retire to a small fishing town in Mexico. You could fish every single morning if you'd like. And when you get tired, you could go home and take a siesta with your wife. And then you could wake up and go downtown, and you could play music on your guitar with your amigos, and you could go out long into the night sipping wine and enjoying yourself. It's funny to me. So often the joy that we so desperately seek after is right in front of our face. I hope that in the midst of the world reopening and things getting back to normal and you spending time with your friends and family, the moments that are absolutely ordinary become phenomenally extraordinary. So many of us spend so much of our time looking to the next mountain summit, hoping that that will bring the joy that we've so desperately sought after. So many of us spend so much time looking forward to retirement. And this year, you know, as the stock market has struggled and as our inflation has been rampant and as there have been storylines all around the world about Russia invading Ukraine, as there's been continued conflict in our own country, as people have disagreed about significant moral issues of our time, I hope that you spend the mornings fishing. And I hope that you're able to take a siesta in the afternoon with the people that you love most, whether it's your kids or your wife or your husband, whoever that might be. And I hope you wake up and you're able to go downtown and you're able to see the beauty of the Christmas lights right here in downtown Brighton. And I hope after that you're able to play your guitar with your closest friends. And I hope as you move through your day-to-day life experiences, you would find that there's a beauty in the simplicity of life. When Jesus was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, he didn't have all the right toys and he didn't have the perfect, you know, place to be born into the world. It was a simplistic, ordinary beginning. But I believe with all of my heart that 2,000 years ago in that manger scene that you heard the story read, that when Jesus broke out his first boring cry, right out of Mary's womb. In that moment, all the anxiety that Mary and Joseph had leading up to that moment completely relaxed into pure joy. The sound of Jesus crying into that quiet, still night, to me, I can almost still hear it. And I remember those nights with Joshua and with Lydia, our two kids, what it sounded like when they would cry into the night, probably a different experience than what Lindsay had, but nevertheless, I remember what it was like. The hope, the joy, the peace, and the love. I hope that you find all four of those great things everywhere you look this holiday season. I pray that you have the merriest of Christmases and that you're able to not look into the future or into somebody else's home or into some other place to find the joy that you so desperately seek, because so often it's right here with us, right here and now. Thanks be to God for the joy that Jesus brought into the world when he was born oh so long ago, giving hope, peace, love, and joy to us this day. Amen.
Prayer. Loving God, on a night long ago, You must have smiled to look down upon a small town filled with the quiet, slumbering animals and people before the baby cried out into the night. Most of them were unaware that there was a miracle happening among them. Now, the birth of a child, any child, is a miracle, as new life takes breath so that a young voice is heard for the first time. But on one particular night, in one particular town, a newborn child was carrying not only that miracle of life, but this child was also born to carry the hopes and fears of all of humanity for all the years to come, including our own. Today, in our own community and in the wider world, there are still fears that stalk streets and networks among us. Some of them are real. There truly is danger and disease and division among us. We pray for those who face such darkness tonight. Let them know that they are not alone. But Lord, some of our fears are not real at all. Some are manufactured by others, and some are created in our own fearful hearts. Anger and ignorance lead us to look at one another through darkened hearts. But you call us to live beyond fear, in a place of forgiveness and hope. Lord, deliver us from evil. Forgive us when we choose darkness and fear instead of looking for your hope and your light. On this night of nights, teach us that in the darkest street, your everlasting light is still shining. And now, Lord, in the silence, we bring to you our hopes and our fears for ourselves, for those we love, and perhaps even for those whom we do not love at all. Smile gently at us as we whisper our prayers to you in the silence. Lord, guide our hearts as we pray together the prayer that the infant of Bethlehem would one day offer as a lamplight for a weary world. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as we move into our time of offering, consider this. How silently the wondrous gift is given. On this holy night, we recall how the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And on this night of magnanimous wonder, what gift can we possibly give that would demonstrate our gratitude and our love? I invite you to recall your authentic love and gratitude to God as you make your offering tonight, and I invite the ushers to come forward. Thank you.
Amen. Well, as we continue our time of worship together this evening, the light of Christ will be spread throughout this entire sanctuary and throughout this entire space. We will be able to lift the light in an opportunity to celebrate the goodness and the brightness of God's presence in our midst. And this last year, this congregation was challenged to raise money for the Samaritan Counseling Center, which is a counseling center that meets right here in our church buildings, both here in Brighton and at Whitmore Lake. And we set a goal of raising $10,000, and this congregation raised over $14,000 for the Samaritan Counseling Center. And in addition to that, we weren't even planning actually on doing this, but an opportunity came up for us to raise money for a tiny home in the city of Detroit, which this congregation raised over $45,000 to build a tiny home in the city of Detroit. And I just think, like, on a night like this, when we take the candle light from the Christ candle and spread it through this whole sanctuary, in some small way we're connected with a new homeowner in the city of Detroit who, even on a night like tonight, when the wind is blowing and the wind chill is probably like minus 10 or whatever it is, there's somebody in the city of Detroit who's sleeping in a home that was provided by this congregation. And so when we spread this candlelight through the sanctuary space, in some ways, I think we're making an outrageous proclamation of hope that in darkness, there is still light, that in despair, there is still hope. In the midst of freezing cold temperatures, there's a congregation in Brighton, Michigan that cares enough to buy a home for somebody who may otherwise be freezing out underneath a bridge in the city of Detroit. I believe there's a ton to be hopeful for. So in a moment, when we light these candles and when we raise them into the darkness, we're saying to the whole world that there is hope alive in us and through God in this community. Let us light the light of Christ and share it with one another this night. Amen. Thank you. Indeed, Jesus is born for all of us this night, and these lights that we lift into the darkness are reminders of the hope that we all have in Christ. And boy, is that light powerful. And so we celebrate the light that we have in all of us. As we extinguish these flames, may you know that the light of these flames transfers from these candles into our hearts, and we become the light of Christ that gets to be brought into the world. And I pray that your light would shine brightly in a world desperate for good news, for hope, for peace, for love and joy. May you all carry that light. Thanks be to God, and Merry Christmas. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, that's right, that's right. It came on with the fury, so that was good, that was good.
Hi.
Merry Christmas, peace be with you. Thanks for being here. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sweet. Oh, I'm sorry. I saw your mom was watching online, actually. I saw the live stream, so hopefully they were able to enjoy it. Merry Christmas soon. Awesome. Marcy, nice to meet you. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. Merry Christmas. Yep. Merry Christmas. Peace be with you. Enjoy your evening. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Peace be with you.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Peace be with you. Merry Christmas. Peace be with you. Thank you so much. Peace be with you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Peace be with you.
I said, oh, they're coming. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Good to see you. Feeling all right?
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.